Friends, welcome to Broad Street Ministry. We are delighted to have you here this afternoon. My name is Laura Coley. I'm one of the pastors around here. And will you please join with me in prayer? Let us pray. Loving God, we come before you today bringing all that has happened in this past week. We come kind of stripped bare before you, hoping and knowing that we will meet you in this place. We ask in the sacredness of this community and this space that you would quiet every voice within us except your own and startle us with your truth. We pray in the name of your Son. Amen. So last year, I attended a conference in North Carolina that was called the Why Christian Conference. The premise of this conference is an intriguing one. It asked the speakers and the attendees, in a world that is as broken and divided and unjust and unsure as ours, why are you a Christian? Why would you choose to be part of an organized religion? Why this religion? Why Christian? And then I got to hear these amazing, powerful public theologians like Kate Bowler and Teresa Thames and Jeff Chu speak eloquently and profoundly and devastatingly about their faith. It's a fair question. Why Christian? Why are you a Christian when there are so many fair and valid reasons to not be one? Why are you a Christian when there is no implicit proof of a higher power? When Christians can be so hypocritical? When immense human suffering exists throughout the whole world? When so many horrendous things have been done within and in the name of Christianity? From the Crusades to colonization to child sex abuse to gay conversion therapy. Why would you be a Christian with all of this historical and theological baggage? Now, I'm not gonna give you my full Why Christian answer here today, in part because we are planning on doing a whole Why Christian-esque series during Lent when Alan and Evan and Rachel and Ann Therese and I will be exploring our own faith and doubts, where our faith stands right now, and because you will have the opportunity to explore your own personal beliefs and doubts in a small group during Lent, if you're interested. Hashtag advertisement, hashtag email me if you're interested, cool. I will say this, while I'm not gonna answer the full question, why Christian, part of the reason why I am a Christian today is because of this place, because of Broad Street Ministry. Because a place like this exists within Christianity. A place where you can be unsure of your beliefs and suspicious of organized religion, where your doubts are a vital part of your faith. A place that strives to live out the gospel by treating vulnerable Philadelphians as valuable human beings worthy of compassion and respect. A place that resists systemic injustices of white supremacy and wealth disparity and mass incarceration. A place that celebrates female and male and non-binary and LGBTQ leadership in worship. A place that values arts and beauty as a vital part of our life of faith. A place where I told you all that we needed condoms for our personal care table, and you all, without batting an eye, showed up the next week with hundreds of condoms. Amazing. I'm a Christian because a church like this one exists in the world, and I wish more people knew about this kind of church. I wish people knew that Christianity could look like our worshiping community, our hospitality collaborative, our community education efforts. I wish that when people thought of the Christian church, they thought of this place. You are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hid. Jesus spoke these words to first century Jewish community in Palestine, a community that had lived under the occupation of other foreign entities, imperial rule for centuries. First it was the Babylonians, and then it was the Persians, then the Greeks, and now currently the Romans who occupied the Jewish people. Now, different factions of the first century Jewish community, they wanted to respond differently to the threat of Imperial Rome. Some groups, known as the Sadducees, they wanted to work with the Romans. They wanted to collaborate with them. The Zealots wanted to take up weapons and fight the Romans. Some of the Pharisees, they also wanted to fight, but some of the Pharisees realized that their small Jewish nation was no match for the massive military power of Rome, and so they opted to keep their head down, to not ruffle any feathers, to quietly preserve their cultural and religious identity until God liberated them from their oppressors. But Jesus shows up to tell the Jewish people that God is already liberating them, that God's kingdom is being revealed and established right here and right now. Therefore, the people of God should not hide themselves away, but they should let their light shine in full view of the world. Jesus tells them, a city on a hill cannot be hid, which is a way of saying, you must be like a city on a hill, a lamp in full view for the whole world to see. Jesus explains to his followers, this light is not just for you. It is not for your own personal edification and enjoyment. It is not just to guide your path under your feet, but it is a light that exists for everyone so that everyone can find their way in the dark. This is the truth and the challenge of Jesus' word that he offers the church today, churches like ours and churches throughout the world. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine so others may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. Now, the you in this statement is a corporate, plural you. And while there are many people here at Broad Street Ministry who are particularly shiny, glimmering, Sarah, you're just glowing completely. While we are shiny and sparkly individually, what truly shines is the community. We are supposed to shine as a whole church. We shine as the light of Christ together as a collective body. And we must work as a church community to be this light. We must go together into those dark places in the world, bearing the light of compassion and justice and truth. For this light to be seen, we must go where darkness exists and to walk through it together, to enter into it, to engage it, to enlighten it. So for those of you who were here last week, you will know that I have kind of attempted to take some of our organizational and strategic planning and translate it into theological terms. So some of the Broad Street Ministry staff have been working with Impact Ed to create this whole theory of change that describes who we are as a whole organization. Who are we? What do we want to accomplish? And how well are we accomplishing it? And what I love about this theory of change is that it paints a picture of who we are as a whole interdependent body and how we share in the work of God in the world. What we discovered from this work is that across the entire Broad Street Ministry organization, Sunday through Friday, we are all working to do three things. One, we're working to create a healing, inclusive, welcoming space to create community. Two, we're working to provide services that fill needed gaps in society and provide support in navigating complex systems, as I talked a little bit about last week. And three, something that we do across this entire organization is that we shine a light. We raise awareness. We educate about systems and vulnerable populations. And I see this shining a light work happen every single week at Broad Street Ministry. I see us shining a light on the struggles many of our guests experience when Anne Therese speaks to a group of seminarians, and then to a group of a residential co-op in Center City, and then to a group of fourth graders about the services we offer at Broad Street and why we offer them. I see us shining a light when our male services coordinator, Sam, meets with city representatives to discuss their municipal ID program and to explain how difficult it can be for someone who's experiencing deep chronic homelessness to obtain a state ID. I see us shining a light at BSM when our volunteer manager, Christine, meets with the managers of Starbucks that way to discuss how they can offer radical hospitality to the people who are coming into their space, who are experiencing chronic homelessness, who just need a warm place to sit for a few hours. And I see this worshiping community being a bright light in Philadelphia when we show others what Christianity can look like. The faith side of Broad Street Ministry has always been wrapped up in this awareness raising, this shining a light work. We've hosted World AIDS Days events and Sandy Hook memorials. On Good Friday, we've had anti-death penalty rallies and conversations about mass incarceration. When cuts to the Pennsylvania budget threatened to slash SSI, the worshiping community held a funeral for the death of SSI, and they wore black, and they carried a literal coffin down Broad Street to City Hall in protest. In a few weeks, we're gonna be collaborating with Shane Claiborne and some other anti-gun violence organizations in the city to explore the effects of our gun-obsessed culture in America. Our faith community has a rich history with awareness-raising work, and we have the opportunity to grow this work in the future. How we shine a light in the days ahead and on what issues, it's kind of up to us. It's up to us to dream up what will happen and make it happen. Okay, I promise this is the last of my kind of State of the Union-esque sermons for the year, but I do want this community to feel connected to the larger organization, to know what's going on Monday through Friday, to know what this whole project is thinking. But I'm gonna leave you today with one concrete way you can shine a light, one way you can raise awareness about a critical issue that's affecting many people who walk through the doors of Broad Street Ministry, and that is the issue of general assistance. So in 2012, the Pennsylvania government adopted a budget that eliminated the general assistance program. This program provided about $200 a month of supplemental assistance to 62,000 low-income adults for an average of about 6 months. This program was temporary in nature, and it helps people with short-term or permanent disabilities, helps them get back on their feet. It helps domestic violence victims looking for economic support as they leave their abusers. It helps people struggling with addiction and need of assistance during their recovery process. In short, this general assistance program is a temporary safety net for people in dangerous and perilous situations. It can be the difference between someone staying in their homes and having to go to a shelter. So this 2012 budget cut, it saved about $150 million of the $27.7 billion budget. They destabilized 62,000 low-income Pennsylvanians in order to save less than 1% of their budget. So last July, you may have heard, the PA Supreme Court ruled that the ending of the general assistance program in 2012 was unconstitutional, and the program was immediately reinstated. Good news. Now, here we are in 2019, and the general assistance program is being threatened again. State legislatures have introduced new legislation to end general assistance forever. Our current governor has said that if GA gets cut, he will divert the funds into affordable housing programs for this year alone. But while we know providing affordable housing is important, the purpose of general assistance is to cover people's most basic needs, things like transportation and medical costs and rent. And so we as a society, we recognize that we provide things like general assistance because we have human empathy. We recognize that it's possible for all of us to end up in a situation like this. We recognize that we belong to each other and that we are only as good as how we treat our most vulnerable neighbors. So you know a little bit more about general assistance, and this is a program that could greatly support many people who walk through our doors each week. I encourage you to learn more, to educate yourself, and then to educate others. And if you'd like to do something right now about general assistance, you can go to the link that's in your bulletin right underneath the sermon, that bit.ly link. And it will take you to Project Home's action page that will tell you more about general assistance and then help you send a letter to your elected officials right now, urging them to preserve this critical program. We don't see this divide between faith and politics. We actually see that God calls us to care for the most vulnerable in our community, and that we need to live that out in practical ways, that we're called to be this light that speaks truth, that the church is not just supposed to be the nicest place in town, but it's supposed to be the most truthful, that we're supposed to go into the dark places of the world to see the evil that exists, to see the pain and suffering, and to bring it to light. Friends, you are the light of the world. We, as a community, we are the window through which the light of Christ can be seen in this world. So let's go out. Let's shine our light before others so that they can know what Christianity really can look like. Amen.